can give. Next week, don't forget to bring your friends. And if you did bring someone, or if you said the verse, don't forget to get your reward from my wife. You can do that right up front afterwards. And then next week, most of the questions will be on this morning's lesson. Nebuchadnezzar starts the times of the Gentiles. And as we had in the sword drill tonight, and as I quoted before, we read those words from Luke 21, 24 that says this, "They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Now, the times of the Gentiles, when they are fulfilled, it will be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with the clouds and his feet touch the Mount of Olives. Listen to that verse in Revelation 1:7, where it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Now, it's very interesting, because at that time, when the Lord returns, every eye will see him. Now, that's different completely from the end of the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles, as I said, started when the church was formed 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it will come to an end when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with that shout in the air. And when he comes with that shout, we hear these words from Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptibly. And we are going to be gathered there to meet the Lord in the air, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior." Now, on that event, it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. People aren't going to see it. But when the times of the Gentiles comes to an end, then we find that every eye will see him when he comes. Now, it says in 2 Thessalonians, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed." Yes. And then it goes on to say, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showeth himself to be God." Now, in the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, we find that there is one that will have an image. At the end of the times of the Gentiles, there will also be an image. And the man at the end of the times of the Gentiles is going to be known as the beast. At the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, we're going to find out that Nebuchadnezzar becomes a beast. So there's lots of similarities between Daniel chapter 3, where our message is from today, and Revelation chapter 13. Now, we find that history and experience has proven over and over again that there is nothing that cuts so sharply and divides as religion or spiritual things. But also, on the other hand, there is nothing that unites or brings together like spiritual or religious things. And many of us can even testify to that in our own families. For us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we find that in our own families, those who are like-minded and have confessed their sin and received Christ, we're joined together. And if you're walking in the ways of the Lord, it brings you closer together. However, in your own family, for those who really don't know the Lord, there's more of a division. There's separation. Well, that's not only true in families, and we can testify to that. That is true in nations and in countries all over. So, you see, down through the years, that's why they've always wanted religion to bring it together. And so, in Nebuchadnezzar's day, he had religion. Now, for Nebuchadnezzar, the religion was very, very simple. It appealed to the senses, to the eyes, and also to the ears. You see, because what he did is he made an image that was all of gold. It was dazzling with gold and all the glitter. And then, of course, there was the music, and so that was there, and it appealed to the ears. Satan, you see, is the great copycat. He is the one who's the great imitator. You know that the first song that we read about is in Exodus chapter 15, that the children of Israel sang when they crossed over the Red Sea. They were redeemed. And I want to tell you, my friends, if you know what it is to be bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got something to sing about. He has put a new song in my mouth. Oh, praise God for the singing that he gives. So we find that Satan will have his music as well, just like they will in Revelation 13, and that day will come. Now also, there was no question about sin. Didn't make any difference what your lifestyle was like. That wasn't brought up at all. It was no question about sin or how you responded. Or, in fact, there was no even question about that you had to pay anything. All you had to do is when the music was blown, you had to bow down before the image. Now the day is going to come that this man is going to sit on the throne. And when he sits on that seat in the temple of God, just like in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, so in his time, they're going to demand worship. I like it, because you see, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life for you, he doesn't command it or demand it. No, he gives you a choice. You can receive him or reject him. And I want to tell you, my friends, if you receive him, he's promised to give to you eternal life. He's not going to force it upon you. But in Nebuchadnezzar's time, it was forced upon the people, as it will be during the time of the tribulation. And what the result was in Nebuchadnezzar's time, if they did not bow and worship, they would be cast into the fiery furnace. So, in this time, if they do not bow, they would be killed. Yes? The people will be forced to bow before this man, and they will take his symbol, which is that of 666. That's the number that this man has. Now, I'm sure that many of you have heard that before, and they'll have that number on their forehead or on their hand. And unless they have that number, they cannot buy nor sell. Down through the years, People have recognized that religion is what unites people. So you see, that started even during the time of Babel. Remember when they built that tower that we read about in Genesis, where they said, "Let us make a name for ourselves." Yes, and they built the tower. But you remember what God did. He dispersed them, and that's why we got our different languages. Well, you see, today, Satan again is trying to unite the people. And we have out there in what we call the church world, the ecumenical movement. Now, the ecumenical movement simply is trying to join all the churches and the religions together. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say this. You see, there are people who are born-again Christians who truly know that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, and they are involved in the ecumenical movement. What they're doing in it, I don't understand. But you see, that what they're saying in the ecumenical movement, it doesn't make any difference. All roads lead to heaven. Oh, no, they don't. Because God's Word makes it very clear. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way for you to have eternal life in that home called heaven. Oh, today, I trust that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Well, the ecumenical movement is very strong today and is getting stronger. Now, you will remember that there are some things that Nebuchadnezzar's image had, just like we will have in 13 of Revelation. You will find that they're commanded to worship, death will come if they don't worship, and then both are marked with the number 6. Here, we find with the beast, it will be 666. But the image that was set up in the plain of Dura that Nebuchadnezzar set up, it was 60 cubits high and 5 cubits wide. Now a cubic is approximately 18 inches. How they measure a cubic is they go from the tip of your elbow to the top of the index finger. And that is approximately 18 inches. And so you see, this here has the number of 6. Well, 6 throughout the Bible is the number for man. It is one short of the number 7, which stands for perfection, which is God's number. And I might say the Lord really has our number. He knows what's happening. And we have that verse in Psalms where it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, help me to know my end and the measure of my days, how frail I am." Yes, it's not long, and our days will be over. Well, we find that in the very beginning, Nebuchadnezzar was very proud. God gave him, as we found out in Daniel chapter 1, God gave him all the king, all the kingdom that he had and all the lands under his control. But he became very proud. He didn't want to be just the head of gold. He wanted to be the whole thing. Not only did we find that he's proud, but so this man here in Revelation 13 is a very proud man. Now what a contrast with the Lord Jesus. Because we read in Philippians where it says that he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Why, the Lord Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Why, he was very humble. But here we have these men who are very proud. Now, 9 times over, we find in Daniel chapter 3 the phrase set up. He set it up, this religion. Pardon me. Four times over, we find the list of musical instruments that he has played, and when those instruments are played, the crowd that was gathered together amongst the lords and all the leaders of the land, they needed to bow down as soon as the music sounded. Now, music is something, again, that Satan has copied, and it's God who gives the song that we can praise Him. And I know that music is a very controversial subject, okay, amongst believers. And I'm sure that there'd be plenty of people that probably here this morning that wouldn't agree with my thinking. But I can have some thoughts too, you know, as well as you. But I want to say that music, as far as I am concerned, should appeal to the Spirit so that we worship the Lord. There's so much music out there today which appeals to the flesh. If you was at the Lord's Supper back in September, we had a great time as we remembered the Lord, as we most often do. And as we were remembering the Lord towards the end, Brother Clint got up, and if some of you will remember, he said, you know, probably we're not the greatest here in our singing, but all this morning you couldn't help from sensing the Spirit of God and how that He will take whatever we offer and He accepts it because it's from the heart. Well, you know, Clint said something to those words. Well, now, that very same morning, there was another person, I won't mention the name, who said to me, you know, I really don't like it because it's not very upbeat, the music here. And it doesn't do much for you. It's rather blah. Well, you see, again, both people were listening to the same thing. It was a matter of their heart. And it was also a matter of what they were doing as they were trying to sing as unto the Lord. Now, I don't know how close some of you people have ever sat next to Brother Fred, but I'm always thrilled when Fred sings, you know. He doesn't always sing, but quite a lot he sings, you know. And I don't understand the word he says when he's singing particularly, but that doesn't make any difference. The Lord does. And even though it might not be in the greatest of harmony, in your opinion, to the Lord it is great, because it's unto the Lord that He's doing it. It was like this past year when I was to the conference that we had gone to of Rise Up and Work. After the evening services were over, there was over 1,000 that were gathered there. That after the evening services, many of the young people gathered around the piano and sang the old hymns, you know. Well, they did that, and people from the Marriott Hotel where we were staying, they really appreciated the music. In fact, one of the men said from that hotel, "We really like it because it smooths the workers, it gets them in a good atmosphere, and we get more work out of them." So they liked the music for that purpose of what it did. Then he went on to say that just approximately about a month previous to that, they had another so-called Christian group, and this group brought in a band with all their instruments and so forth. And the music was very loud and raucous. And in that, they had two girls who were doing a duet. And he didn't get into a lot of detail, but he said they got carried away in their singing so that they, as a hotel, called the police in to put it to a stop. Now, The thing was this, that it was in the name of religion. There's lots of that going on today. You know, even as we read in the Old Testament, people, when they danced and sang around, they even got to the point where they made themselves in the nude, as the Word of God tells us. You see, all music is not pleasing to the sight of the Lord. And again, I want to say that we want to be careful in our selection of music. And as I said also, I know it's very controversial. But anyways, when this music sounded, the people had to bow. But there were three in that crowd who we found out that their names were turned to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We met them as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And those three men, they just refused to bow. They stood up firm. You know, it's so good when some people will not go with the crowd. But many people who are even believers, whatever the crowd does, that's what they do. They don't have enough backbone to stand up for the Lord. And they go with all the modern stuff that comes out. Well, somebody might ask the question, why an image that they bowed before? Well, once again, I want to say to you, my friends, that Satan is the great imitator. Not only in music, but in everything that the Lord does, he tries to imitate. You know that verse in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 where it says, who being the brightness of the express image of God. Oh, I can't quote that. I'm sorry. I'll just read it. Hebrews chapter 1. Should know that verse. Yes, okay, that's it. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand on the majesty of God. Then we have also Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Yes, the firstborn among many brethren. And then we have that verse in Romans chapter 8. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be called the firstborn among many brethren. And then we have that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it says these words, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you see, you find that just as the Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God, Satan will always have his image. Well, these men refused to bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no way would they bow down before the image. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar. The strange thing is this, that the men who brought them, before the king, are the same men whose lives were spared and saved because of these three men. For you see, these three men, along with Daniel, prayed, as you remember, and their lives were spared. But they were very jealous of these men because they were promoted. And so these men were brought before the king, and they said that these three did not bow down to the image. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, when he heard that, he became angry, and he said to them, "Is it true that you have not bowed down before my image that I set up in the plain of Dura? I will play the music one more time, and you will have an opportunity again to bow down before my image. If you don't bow down before my image, you shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And what God is able to deliver you out of the burning fiery furnace?" And these three men responded by saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If our God is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image that you have set up." Well, the king was absolutely furious. When these men responded in this way, he said to his soldiers, his armed men, "Take them out of here and cast them into the furnace and heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it was before. Throw them in." The king was absolutely furious. Do you know that the word of God says this, "Behold, I have refined them, but not with silver. I have chosen them in the furnace of affliction." I like that verse also in Isaiah where it says this, these words, when it says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. When thou passest through the rivers, I will be with thee, and through the waters they shall not o'erflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Yes. God had promised that he would be with them. But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. These fellows didn't know what was going to happen to them. But, as they said, it made no difference to them. I like that verse in Acts where it says in chapter 20, "Neither count we our life dear unto ourselves." Yes. We don't count our life dear unto ourselves, that I may finish my course with joy. The verse begins by saying, "None of these things move me, that I might finish my course with joy." Yes? "And that I may continue the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." These men knew that regardless what happened, they were going to be a winner. If they would die in the fire, as they were trying to tell the king, "It's okay. We're with the Lord." But our God, they believed, was able to deliver them out of that furnace. Well, fellows and girls and men and women, just like there was the problem then, so there is the problem in Revelation chapter 13. There are going to be the people who will take that mark? It says in 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means. Yes? Because it's going to happen. And but for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they shall believe a lie. Yeah, many people will take the mark because they'll believe the lie that Satan gives. They'll take that mark either on their hand or they'll take the mark on their forehead. And you see, if they don't take that mark, as I already said, they cannot buy or sell. And these people will have a difficult time who will refuse to take that mark. Listen to the words of Zechariah chapter 13 where it says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts shall be cut off and die, and the third part shall be left and remain. And I will bring the third part through the fire and refine them as silver, and I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call upon me on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord, He is our God. Yes, during that time, there will be hundreds and thousands of people who will be beheaded, who will be killed in various ways because they refuse to take the mark. Just like we found during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So it will be during that time that people will refuse to take the mark. I tell you, some of us don't take it in what we've been saved from. We don't take it in what the Lord Jesus did for us when He gave His life on the cross, and we're embarrassed to witness for Him. We're ashamed of Him. Oh, listen, my friends. When you think of all that He's done for Him, done for you, rather, I should say, we should stand up and share the good news. Well, we have another verse that's found in Revelation that says these things. And I saw thrones, and I saw those that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the name of Jesus, and for the witness of the Word of God. Neither worship they the image, neither worship they the beast, neither the image, neither had they received the mark on their heads or on their hands. But they shall live and reign with Him 1,000 years. Yes, they'll live and reign with Him 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years is over with, but the rest of the dead shall not live until 1,000 years is ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection, upon which the second death hath no power. For they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Oh, I like that portion found in Revelation chapter 20, because you see, there it tells us that those who will be martyred, yes, are going to reign with him and live with him for that 1,000 years during the millennium. And then for all eternity, they'll be with him. Oh, you may be like some of the people who will be taken up with Satan's lies and what he can offer, and you'll go with the crowd or what he's giving to you to do, and you'll be embarrassed or ashamed to speak up for Christ. But I want to say that this life is very short, but then there's eternity to face. Oh, that you will be ready for that. And if you're a Christian, yes, you need to live for him, because what we're going to all say is, by and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Well, the king, he was so angry to think that these men would not bow before his image. So he gave the command that they needed to heat up that furnace 7 times hotter than what it was, and throw them in. Before they threw them in, they bound them up. They bound them up with their hats on, their stockings on, their coats on, and the rest of their garments. Yes, they had on. And they threw them into that furnace. And the Word of God tells us, because it was heated 7 times greater, that these mighty men of the king, why, the flames leaped out upon them and burned them and killed them. These men who belonged to the king. So really, the king became the loser of his mighty men. But the men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown in, they fell to the ground of that furnace. But what burned of them was just the ropes that were bound on them. Not their coats, nor their clothes, their stockings or their hats. None of that burned. Why, they were able to get up. And when they got up, they were able to walk in the furnace. Now, somebody would say, where was Daniel during all this time? Well, Daniel had great powers and leadership in the kingdom, and more than likely it is believed, it doesn't say in God's Word, but Daniel was perhaps away on business for the king and wasn't there at that time. Daniel was not with them. But God was. God was with them in a mighty way. Those men were able to get up and walk in that furnace. The soldiers that threw them in, they were burned to death. Do you think those fellows for 1 minute would like to have traded that experience they had? Oh my. To think of it. They were walking up and down in the furnace. They could praise the Lord. Well, the king was called. And the king was called to take a look. And the king came out to see what was taking place. And he saw the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, walking in the furnace. And then the king, as he looked, he said, did I not command to throw 3 men in? Behold, I see 4, and the 4th is like the Son of God. Now, whatever possessed him to say that? I'm sure he didn't even know what he said. The Son of God? He didn't know God. He recognized him as a God, Daniel's God. But here, he said, I see the 4th one like the Son of God. And he commanded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth! And those men came forth out of that fiery furnace. And when they came forth out of the fiery furnace, there wasn't even a smell of fire on them. Nothing was burnt. Not even a hair of their head was singed. My, the king said, I want to bless the name of their God. Now he went a step further this time. During Daniel's time, when Daniel spoke to him about the prophecy, he said that Daniel's God was a God. Now he's willing to bless that God. But he didn't come to know God in a personal way. You may recognize that Jesus Christ is God. You might even bless him or pray to him. But you need to receive him as your Savior. And unless you do that, you're not a child of God. Now, just before I show my last scene that I want to show, I want to ask the lights to come back on for just a moment, and then we'll put them back off again. Thank you. Now, I brought with me a furnace, too. My furnace, of course, isn't very much of a furnace, but I brought this furnace, and it's just a small little furnace. And in this furnace, what we're going to do is just have that all done over again. Remember, into that furnace, we had Shadrach. He was cast into that furnace. And then there was... Some of you are alive, yeah. There was... You got it, or some do. And then we find that there was... Oh, you're doing better. You did listen. That's good. Okay, it's found right there in God's Word that these three were cast into the fiery furnace. And you know, when the king cast them into that furnace before he did... What did he do? What did he do? Tied him up. What else did he do? Thank you, Isaiah. He made that furnace seven times hotter. Mrs. Mishner, would you help me? Thank you. Good. All right. Now, Mrs. Mishner, she's going to help me to make this furnace seven times hotter. So just come right up here, Mrs. Mishner, and you're going to take this lighter fluid, and you're going to put seven squirts in here. I did this once before, and they squirted my hand. You don't do that, okay? It goes in here, all right? That's good. Count. One, two, three. Very good. Thank you, Mrs. Mishner. All right. Now, Mrs. Mishner, after they heated it up seven times hotter, okay, then what we do is they had this furnace going. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right, just do that. All right, right on here. That's good. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Mishner. There they were in that furnace. All of three of them. There was... Whoop. Sorry about that. There was Shadrach. Come on up, Shadrach. Come on. They fell down first, you remember? Yes. They fell down bound. There was Shadrach. Come on. You've got to get Meshach up here. Get up here. There he comes. Oh, there he is. Oh, and Abednego came with him. Good, that's good. Okay. And together, there they were. And let me tell you, they were walking and praising God. They were in that fire. Oh, what an experience. They would never forget that experience for the rest of their life. No, they would always remember that experience. How they walked and praised God. Listen, they passed through that fire. The trials of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. And as they walked in that fire, I want to tell you, they were having the greatest time as they walked in that fire praising God. Because the Lord was with them in the fire. And you know something? Yes. They were able to come out of that fire. We find that the king said to him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth. And they came out. There wasn't even a smell of fire upon them. No. You see, when the men came out, they were, all they had burned was just the ropes that bound them. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was right with them in the midst of that fire. What an exciting day that was. What a tremendous thing, because the Lord was with them. Now, we don't know what's going to happen to us when our trials come. But it says this in God's Word, and if you'll put those lights off once again, I'm going to be just a few minutes here. If we put the lights off again, we find out that trials are going to come in our life. Now, it doesn't mean that if you get saved, that everything's just going to be rosy and easy. No. You can have great troubles come into your life. And one of the words that I enjoy in Hebrews chapter 11, as I already shared with you, is that word others. Some did not have the same victory as we read in the first part of Hebrews chapter 11. But they were with Christ. And they had great faith. Now, what's going to happen in your life? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. But I want to share a story or two with you. And the first one, very briefly, is about my father. When he was 13 years of age, he lived down there on 13 Martin Avenue. And there, as a young child, 13, the house caught on fire. That can happen. You don't know. We can thank God for the fact that that hasn't happened to most of us, although Mr. Lehman had that experience at the same time.